So we looked at surprised by adventure. A great man called Abram and Sarai, his wife, God gives them a mission to go. And he doesn't give them a postcode. And he, obviously, I assume Abram's wife was asking him, are you crazy? Where are you taking us? You've called us to pack our things and move. So we see the faithfulness of Abraham as he follows God to a place where he has never been or he doesn't know exactly. And then we looked at surprise by prediction. The amazing thing about the Bible, it's the precision about how things happen. So we have Isaiah who writes in detail about what is going to happen in the end. And then last week we had the surprised by mystery, a guy who is a mysterious character. We had some people get the privilege of eating locusts last week. If you're here, you missed out big time, even though only a few people got to taste. How did they taste? Were they nice? Recommended? Highly recommended? Fantastic. I think the honey makes them taste perhaps better. So today we're going to look at surprised by faithfulness. And Mary is a character, a person who perhaps when we see her in the Nativity story, she oftentimes is presented as one who doesn't say a lot or one who is just following through as the movement of God's power happens. But Luke, who is one of the four gospel writers, Luke did not witness what was happening at Jesus' time. But Luke wanted you and I to be able to understand what was going on. So he said, I'm going to abandon my vocation. I'm going to go out there and look for people who saw what Jesus was doing. He went out hunting for the people who are called the eyewitnesses of Jesus. And so that he could put an account for you and for me and for generations that have gone past and the generations that will arrive after we've been, so they can look at this account and see what actually took place. And who better to go to hear about Jesus than his own mom, Mary. Someone who obviously is at the center of what is happening in the story of Jesus. So surprised by faithfulness. In Mary, we see the faithfulness of a true disciple. But also in Mary, we see the faithfulness of God who has made lots of promises. I have a question for us. What is the hardest ask you have received in your life so far? What is the hardest thing you've been asked to do? I can see some laughing and smiling. Anyone who wants to let us know? Anyone who's going to be brave enough? What's the hardest thing you've been asked to do and you've gone on and done it? Childbirth. That is, I cannot tell. I don't know. I was just about to say, and I was like, you cannot speak into this.
Being a vicar's wife.
Being a vicar's wife. It's a big one. I remember when I started dating Irene, she did ask one of the very few questions right at the beginning. Is she wasn't actually asking. She was like, I hope you're not going to become a pastor.
That was about
like me. I know. And here we are. And here we are, serving God faithfully. There's this common question for those who are married, this big question when I don't know what your experience was, and I won't be able to go around to all of us to see, to hear what your experience was. But when a bloke turns up, goes down on their knee and says, will you marry me? That's not an easy question. That is not an easy question. But for the scriptures, we've heard about Abraham who left his nation. He left his land, his village, his people, and he went on and followed what God was saying. For Isaiah, we have a man who God asks, whom shall I send? And out of this, we get this beautiful song, which we know, here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. Isaiah was sent and he said, here I am, God, send me. But maybe for most of us, it's just that call that God put on you one day and said, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking." And he wanted you to invite him into your life. It is not an easy call. The Christian call is not easy. And it gets harder and harder the more we understand it and the more we practice our faith. And it's a response to this love of God for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only child, that whosoever believes in him, perhaps for most of us, that is the biggest call that we have received. It has led to people's families' breakdown. It has led, especially for people who move from other faiths, whereby it means if you abandon your faith, for example, someone coming from Islamic faith, if you become a Christian, you are separated from your family. It's not an easy call. For us, it's an abandonment of our ways of life that we lived before we were Christians. What about Mary? For her, this is a big call. Yet, what about Jesus? He was dwelling in the heavens. He was with God. He was having a wonderful time in the Trinity. And God says, I need to send someone down there and bring my hope and salvation and my rescue to my people. And Jesus is the one who gets sent. We're not going to watch that because we did the reading. So what is happening in Mary's time? Timings can be categorized into two. And sorry for these big words. Time can be categorized into two categories, like chronos, which is the chronology. One thing to the other, to the other, to the other, like a domino effect. And time can also be classified into something called a kairos moment, when something grand takes place, when something that was a big surprise, people perhaps, for the children of Israel, they knew at some point God will strike in and is going to do something profound. So they knew the chronology because of the promises right from the beginning of the scripture in Adam. God says when he finds Adam and Eve have sinned, he says the seed of this of a woman will crush the serpent. So that's the first promise we see in the Old Testament about Jesus. All those promises, all those prophecies, that is a chronology. Like this is going to happen in this way. But for Mary, it's not just a chronology of time. It's a kairos moment. Something big is about to happen in her life. Just to clarify a little bit, we are from what would be categorized as a Protestant denomination at the Church of England. And the whole idea of Mary has been held into two extremes oftentimes. In the Catholic Church, Mary perhaps is highlighted slightly above what the scripture teaches. But in most Protestant churches, Mary goes without mention. So the pendulum swings from one extreme to the other. And what we are doing today is to look at the middle ground. We see Mary, as I speak to you about Mary, I'm speaking to you about someone who is an ordinary woman, a disciple of Christ. Someone who is a faithful follower of God. Someone who is just like you and I, who we can learn from. Okay? And I'm not going to go into the details because there is a lot written about why the Catholics pray through Mary or they use her in a highlighted position. But that's not where I want you to end up today. So those two extremes. But I also want you to honor her in her faithfulness and learn from her as a Christian on how you and I can be faithful. So God surprises everyone in the way he shows up in Mary. On that picture there is the first king-size bed, an ordinary bed. A king will be born and placed there in that simple bed. And so God in his faithfulness, the element of surprise is how God chooses to be around us. So before the reading that Louise brought to us, there is an encounter, and sorry for the PowerPoint has pushed things, they're not very aligned, don't worry, we'll go through them. before the singing of Mary, before the song of Mary, there's a wonderful encounter that we have all heard of perhaps during this time of Christmas, the Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. It's very easy for us to think, oh, this is an ordinary guy. We can place the angels on our sort of nativity scenes. But when this happens to Mary, for 400 years, no one has ever seen an angel, okay? So it's something big that's happening for her. And her immediate reaction is like, she's terrified because this is big. I haven't seen an angel. I don't know whether you have, maybe in a vision or a dream. But this is a reality of life. A young teenage girl, perhaps reading the scriptures or maybe out there fetching firewood or water or whatever she was doing in her day-to-day life, an angel, a heavenly being shows up to her and says to her, you are the blessed one of God. You are the favored one of God. And what does Mary do? First of all, she's terrified. She's perplexed. And she thinks about what the angel of God is saying to her, because the angel of God says, you will conceive, and in you there will be a baby, and he will be the Son of God. Whoa, this is big. And Mary, at this time, she's engaged to be married to Joseph. So she asked the angel, how is this going to happen? Up to now, people are still wrestling with this question about the virgin birth of Christ. Because we all know, well, not all, it's one of those stories that look like the Santa story. Is Santa real or is Santa not real? It's more like, perhaps for children, when they're little, they think children are bought or brought from the hospital. There's always a narrative around how children are made. But Mary knows the natural way of conception. But God in his power, the creator of the whole universe, is able to create life outside of the natural process. And that's the definition of a miracle. It's something that happens outside of the natural way of understanding. That's why we call it supernatural. So what does Mary do? She thinks about this, and so she asks, how is this going to happen, and I am a virgin? She thinks about it. Most of us, we live in a time when people want to think about faith. They want to rationalize. So Mary shows us that we can be faithful in our trying to rationalize faith. But then Mary is doubtful. But her doubt is a faithful doubt. She doesn't say to God, no way, Joseph is waiting. We've got a date. We've already sent invites to our families to attend the wedding. I'm not going to do that. That's not the doubt we see in Mary. Mary says, she asks the right question and hence gets the right answer. I would encourage you to always interrogate faith, to always hold doubt, because in that space of doubt, it's when you will find understanding. But if I leave it, it wouldn't be very helpful. I would encourage you to be faithful doubters like Mary. And faithful doubting is asking the right question to the right person. So Mary says to the angel, how is this going to happen? And the angel gives her an explanation of how this is going to happen, something that points her back to how the world began. In Genesis 1, we are told the world was formless and the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. And that is how Mary is going to conceive. If you read Luke talks about a lot about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to be involved, and this beginning creation power will be involved. So when you doubt, when you ask questions, doubt in a faithful way. And then we see Mary surrendering herself and saying to God, okay, I don't really understand how this is going to happen. I really don't have a clue. Remember, Mary is a teenage girl. She's from a poor family. She's engaged. She's a woman. In that cultural context, women were not regarded highly. But she's also got to carry the burden of explaining to Joseph and to everybody else she comes across, including her other children, about this mysterious child that she has. Perhaps with time, her pregnancy will start to show. Most likely even before the wedding with Joseph. And she has to explain to people who perhaps will not believe her story. So she's vulnerable. She carries the huge amount of shame and embarrassment because of her faithfulness. But she is willing to be faithful, to be perseverant, and to be a sacrifice all her privileges for the sake of this child that she will be carrying. And what Louise read for us, it's her song. Mary, oftentimes when such things happen, we all have a close friend that we go to. And Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, her cousin. And as soon as she gets into Elizabeth's house, all of us, perhaps if you've got all younger siblings, at some point it's inevitable that in the womb start to kick. And sometimes, perhaps this is men conversation, but women will say, oh, I was a kick. And I think for our youngest, the way he was positioned, he was kicking quite a lot on my wife's rib, and she was in a lot of agony for a long time. But you can see when you see him, he's a bouncy little boy. But what happens when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the Spirit of God, even before she opens her mouth, remember that time there was no WhatsApp, there was no Facebook, there was no text messaging, there was no email. So there is no way other than God's intervention, Mary's cousin will have known that she is carrying a baby. Obviously, she knows that she is engaged. But Mary is amazed Elizabeth is amazed when Mary shows up. I'm just going to briefly read for us what Elizabeth says. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Just listen to what's happening in Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken of to her by the Lord." Remember, Mary hasn't had a text message. She hasn't had anything to let her know what's happening. Elizabeth hasn't had any communication other than the Holy Spirit of God communicating to her. And as soon as that happens, and I think this is a very important thing for our discipleship, having people we link up with, people who we pray together with, people who we connect with in our faith. All this time we have been told that Mary is willing to do what God wants her to do. But one thing that we haven't been told, which is also part of the four things that we look at in Christmas, joy. We haven't been told about her joy. But in this fellowship with Elizabeth, she rejoices. So when she sings, it's because somehow in this fellowship, which is what we do when we gather together, God blesses her in a unique way and causes her to rejoice in what is happening in her life. So a little going back, we saw Abraham leaving his nation. Again in Exodus, we see Moses going back to Pharaoh so many times in his faithfulness. We had Isaiah say, "Here I am, Lord." And now we have Mary saying, "Let it be. I am willing to go with you, God, in this mystery of a child that will be conceived within me and a child who I will look after." So in Mary, we see the power of faithful obedience. It wasn't easy for Mary, a teenage girl, willing to be part of the world, coming to a different dynamic as God shows up in a tiny little baby. Mary surrenders to God. She allows what is of God to happen in her. Something that causes me to ask, how did your Christian journey begin? How did you become a Christian? What was that early moment of you and Christ? Because what happens to Mary, obviously she is going to carry Jesus physically in her womb. But every Christian is called on to carry Jesus within them in a different way. To carry this message of hope, this message of peace, joy, and love within us. So for those of you who have responded to God, go back to that moment of how it began. And if it hasn't happened, God is knocking at the door and saying, "Would you let me in so that I can dwell within you?" Mary was full of surrender. She allowed God to dwell within her unconditionally. The story of Mary doesn't end with the nativity. It carries on in the entire life of Jesus. Up to that point when Jesus is being crucified on the cross, she looks up to him, her perfect child being put through the cruelty of humanity. So Mary was anointed as a fulfillment of prophecy. Mary, when she sings, she reminds us of God's faithfulness. In the song that Louise read for us, we see her saying, "It's not to do with me." I don't know what would have happened to us if it was us in Mary's place. Maybe if she was on Instagram, she would have gotten so many followers. Maybe she would have chosen to go out there and pick up a celebrity profile. But what we see in Mary's song, she reflects back to God this faithfulness. She worships God. She praises him in this song. She knows it has nothing to do with her. It has to do with God's faithfulness. She knew herself that she needed a savior. So Mary is not just carrying a baby. She's also carrying the one who will be her own savior. It's a mystery. And I oftentimes look back and think, how did it look for Mary looking after a perfect child? A child who will never do anything wrong. That's hard. A perfect child. That's harder than perhaps what we have to do as we look after our own children. It doesn't mean that our children are wrong or bad, because we were children as well. But have a ponder about, how does it feel like to look after a perfect child? A child who will be hated, a child who will eventually be persecuted. This child of God dwelling in her is a demonstration of faithfulness. And the only thing that makes faithfulness possible is God's faithfulness. And as I draw to a close, the only analogy I could think of is the sun relationship to the moon. We are told that the moon has not got light of its own. It reflects back the light of the sunshine. For Mary, as you think about her and her faithfulness, for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, for all of the faithfuls of Scripture, for Hannah, all the men and women of Scripture, their faithfulness is a reflection of God's faithfulness. So when God calls you and me to be faithful, he models that in Christ. He makes faithfulness happen in us. There's a deep well of God's faithfulness from where we can draw our faithfulness. Finally, Cain asked us about why did Jesus have to come? Jesus had to join our human system so that he would experience the ups and downs of our human life, so that when he speaks from the throne and says, declares hope, peace, love, and joy to you and me, he has been there. He has been there in your darkest moment of life. He has been there in the difficult situations. He has been there. He's a God who in his lowest suffering, God decides to glorify him. So he knows what you worry about. He knows what you struggle about. He knows what you're carrying as your weight. The reason why he shows up from the very beginning of human life, shows up as a baby, is so that he would know your suffering, my suffering, everyone's suffering. Just be aware of that. And he is the perfect example of faithfulness. So would we reflect that back to him? Would we be faithful in our own discipleship journeys? We can learn a lot from Mary in her faithfulness, but more so, we can learn a lot from Jesus in her faithfulness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we look back to the point when we became Christians. We look back to the point when we said, yes, Jesus, we want to follow you. And we thank you for that step that we made. We pray that you would remind us that all our faithfulness is a reflection to your faithfulness. And I pray this day, as we think about why Jesus came, that we would know that he knows our struggles. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. He knows our worries. He knows our fears. He came into our human system to experience what we experience, so that when he gives us hope, when he gives us peace, when he gives us joy, and when he declares his love to us, we receive it from one of our own. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know his love this Christmas, to experience his hope, his peace, and in doing so, to be able to rejoice as those who God has remembered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.